Turning your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I think we've all been sitting for a little while, so let's all stand as we read these verses. I think that's always important to remind us of the importance of the Word of God. So tonight, the message title is Don't Worry, God's Got This. And I think it's a good topic for all of us tonight. A lot of prayer requests tonight. And before we even get into it, how many of you ever struggled with worry or anxiety before? Just raise your hand so everybody can see you. Okay, the vast majority of us. Well, let's just be reminded tonight that we don't have to worry. God's got this. He's got it all figured out. He knows what he's doing. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. I'm going to leave verse 9 kind of as the end because it's important. Okay, you ready? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's going to be our main verses we're going to look at. If you know my preaching style, we'll look at a lot of other ones too. So you listen fast. I will talk fast-ish, and we'll get this, okay? Let's pray. Ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, I ask tonight, Lord, that you would just help us to be reminded that we don't have to worry. Lord, that you've got this all figured out. Lord, you know exactly what's going on. Lord, you know exactly how you're going to answer the prayer request that we brought before you tonight. And Lord, tonight, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would just once again be reminded of who you are, be reminded of the wonderful privilege that we have to take our worry, to take our cares before you. And Lord, we can leave them there, and I'm so thankful for that tonight. But help this, help me to get the message that you've given to me tonight to these people. And Lord, help us to then apply it to our lives so we can live different lives, Lord, the rest of this week, and really, Lord, the rest of our lives. We pray this all in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, so as we jump in, we've all already admitted that we struggle with worry. So let's jump into this. Philippians 4, 6, my first point, okay? Full of care. You'll kind of catch something here. It's full of, okay? So if you're already taking notes, you can pre-fill in stuff. Okay, full of care. Look at Philippians 4, 6. It says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I'm trying something new tonight. Normally my outlines are pretty bare. Tonight, I wrote everything out. So if you see me turning pages, it's okay. I'm trying to stick to the script, okay? If you know me, I don't often. Okay, so full of care. Be careful. We see that right there at the beginning of this text in Philippians 4, 6. Be careful. What does that mean? Well, it means, number one, full of care, okay? It means to be full of care. It also means to worry, to be anxious. So be careful, be worrisome, be anxious for what? Look at the text. You have to respond, okay? Don't be like the teenagers who just stare at me, okay? Be careful for nothing. Thank you. Nothing. What does nothing mean? It means in no area. It means in no thing. This should not be a part of our life. But we already admitted. Let's just admit it again. How many of you, it is a part of your life? Okay. My hand's up too, okay? That wasn't just me leading the charge, okay? Be careful, be worrisome, be anxious for nothing. But then let's look at the next phrase here, but in everything. So be careful for nothing, but instead in everything, in every area, in everything. This needs to be a part of our life. What he's about to mention here in Philippians 4, 6 should be a part of our life. What is it? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, there we go, by prayer and supplication. What is prayer? Prayer is simply you and I talking to God. It's really all it is. Oftentimes we think prayer is this huge ornate thing. It's really not. It's simply me talking to God. That's all it is. Prayer is a very general term here. But then we see something else, supplications. Now this brings some another kind of area here to this prayer. This carries the idea of asking for a need. So prayer and supplication. So you simply talking to God, and now you asking for a need. Now, in the context of this verse, what is the need? My worry, my anxiety, my care, my full of careness. So it is me now taking this to God. So all of us, most of us, and I think the people who didn't raise their hand, you're not telling the truth, because I think we all have a moment of worry. This is what we are to do. Take it to God. With what, though? So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. This is to be our attitude when we ask the Lord. When I take this need to God, I should be thankful. Why? Now, we're going to look at a couple other passages. You keep your finger in Philippians chapter 4 because we're coming back. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. If you don't want to go, it'll be right here. Okay? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What do we find here? We find that God is listening. So why can I be thankful when I pray, when I am full of care, when I have worry? Because I know God hears. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that you have a God who has an open ear to you, who's ready to listen, who wants to take it upon himself, who wants to answer your prayer? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It says this, you know these verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Do you see here, though, that there is a stipulation? If we ask anything, what? According to his will. There is a stipulation here, but aren't you thankful that God hears and God answers? On a prayer service like this, you and I should be excited about this point. But guess what? I get to take this to God. I can be thankful because I have a God who hears me and a God who can answer. Now let's go back to Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't hold back. Sometimes we don't pray because we're afraid of what God is going to say. Oh, well, I know I'm worrisome, I know I'm anxious, but God's going to say, no, that's not reality. Okay? God wants to hear you pray. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid. You know there are people in the world who pray to their gods, small g, who are afraid. Because they don't know if their God is angry or happy with them or how he's going to respond. You don't have to worry about that. Philippians 4, verse number 16, I preached on this the last time I got to preach to you. It says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come boldly to our God. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to hold back. Because my position now, being the joint heir with Christ, now I can come boldly right into the throne and not have to worry. Amen. Amen. And that's amazing. So when I am worried, what should I do? I should pray. When I'm worried, I should take this to God with thanksgiving. And now I can say, hey, God, I got a problem here. I don't have to hold back. That was point number one. We're moving. Point number two, not only are we full of care, but we can be full of peace. Full of peace. So really, when you think about this passage, you see verse number six, and you see how be careful for nothing, be worrisome about nothing. But then in verse number seven, you see something here. Let's look at this verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see this peace? And the peace of God. So you do what he told you in verse number six, and now the peace of God comes over you. That's an amazing thing. So let's talk about this peace of God from verse number seven. This peace is what helps us when we are afraid, when I'm worrisome, when I'm anxious. This peace that God is telling us here in verse number seven is the same peace that is going to help me when I'm afraid. Go to John 14, verse number 27. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this topic. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Now let's look how he finishes this. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So because of the peace I give to you, now you don't have to be troubled. Now you don't have to be afraid. So really, when you think about this, they all work together. So when I'm full of care, I'm to take it to the Lord. When I'm taken to the Lord, now I get the peace of God, which then takes away my worry and my anxiousness. Do you see how it works together? This peace of God that he promises to give you is an amazing thing. Not only does it help us in times that we are afraid, but it also helps us keep the right perspective. This is so important. The peace of God helps me keep the right perspective. When I think about worry in my life, I often worry about things that will never happen. Anybody else there? We worry about things that are maybe going to happen tomorrow, but then we find out tomorrow it didn't happen. So guess what? All that worry, all those stomach pains, all that gas meant nothing. You know it's true, okay? It meant nothing. Why? Because that never came to be. Now, if I keep the right perspective that God knows my tomorrow, I don't have to worry about it. Go to Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Look at the verses right up here. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Look at this verse. "Whose mind is stayed on" what? "On thee," on God. "Because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So how can I have this right perspective? Be looking at the one who gives us the right perspective. Now, how do I do that? Through his word. If I'm not in his word, I will be worried. If I'm not in his word, I won't know how to handle tomorrow's issues. If I'm not in his word, I will be anxious. Why? Because if I'm not here, this is the foundation of my life. This is what I base everything off of. This is my food spiritually. And if I don't eat, there's a problem. Miss Erin knows this. Mrs. Utley, I guess I should call her. She knows this. If I don't eat, there's a problem. Okay? There's a problem. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Now go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Now we're going to keep going like this, okay? Go back to Philippians 4, verse number 7. "And the peace of God," look at the next phrase, "which passeth all understanding." This peace of God surpasses anything that you and I can conceive or even imagine. This goes beyond what we even think peace even is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. It says this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You know what that means? We don't even understand what God is doing in our life. We don't understand the blessings that God is giving to us. We talked about it tonight with Traveling Mercies. Sometimes I'm driving down the road and I'm like, can we not bring everything one time? And then what happens? What Mrs. Wiesner talked about. What Mr. Barr talked about. Where then we go, oh. You know what that is? It's a little gut check for our faith. It's one of those moments where you're like, maybe God said, hey, forget that. Oh, yeah, forget that too. Oh, yeah, forget that. We do it like four times. We're like, seriously? I've got a 2-year-old. He still has a diaper. What? What? Why can't we bring a diaper? We drive back and forth, waste a bunch of gas. And this peace that God gives is the highest kind of peace. Now, Jesus said this already. We already looked at that verse. But if we go back to that verse we just talked about in John 14, 7, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You know what that means? It's not like any other kind of peace. How many of you know that to be true? Okay. We know it's true. Now let's look at the next phrase here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall" what? "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This peace that God gives us keeps us from anxiety and worry. Remember, this is still directly tied to us taking our request to God. It's still tied to verse number 6. This is the way to keep our heart from trouble. This is the way. This shall keep in this verse is actually a military term. Have you ever heard about those keeps that they had on castles where they had archers and things like that? That's what he's talking about here. It carries the idea of guarding a camp or a castle. So it's not like keep, like I want to keep all my money in my wallet. That's not what it's talking about. Well, in a way, I guess. It's talking about guarding. It's guarding you now from that worry, that anxiety of verse number 6. It's keeping you from that. So this peace keeps you from the thing we just talked about. Now, where does this peace come from? It comes through Jesus Christ. We see that in the verse. This peace can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. This peace doesn't come from the world. But never lose sight of the truth that all the security and happiness of a believer can be traced back to the Savior. Did you get that? Never lose sight of the truth that all the security and happiness of a believer can be traced back to the Savior. That is so important. Because I don't know about you, but I watch news stories or I read them for on air, and I'm like, this world is a messed up place. Anybody else see that? When I take my eyes off of my Savior, my security, my happiness, my joy fades away. We don't have to worry. Why? God's got this. Okay? Scripturally, God's got this. He has not abandoned us. He promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We know that he is with us. We know that his comforter is with us. We know that we're okay. But so often, if we lose sight of what is most important, all of that security, all of that happiness, all of that joy begins to fade away. Why? Because of point number 3. All these verses work together. Look at verse number 8. Full of right thinking. Okay? That's the point. Point number 3. Go back to that real quick, Evan. Sorry. Full of right thinking. Full of right thinking. Now let's look at verse number 8. Now this is how we are to think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. How does that tie into verse 7 and verse number 6? Because what we found is that if I think wrong, if my focus is on the wrong place, I won't be pulled away from my worry and anxiety. But if my eyes are focused on these things that we're about to talk about, it changes everything. So, point number 3, full of right thinking. Letter A, think on things that are true. Okay? No shocker there. If you look at verse number 8, that's the first one. What sort of things are true? The world says you can't know truth. But can I tell you something? They're liars. Pastor talked about this just a few weeks ago, but go to John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we're not going to focus about the way. Look at what he says next. The truth. So if I am to think on things that are true, what am I to think on? Jesus. Think on Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Okay, this isn't rocket science, okay? Think on Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and guess what? He meant it. Everything Jesus said, he meant. Now, what else can I think on? Look at John chapter 17, verse 17. It says this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So what is this second truth that we find, which is really the same truth? What is it? It's his word. Okay, so important. Because if I am to think on things that are true, the world is full of liars, the devil is a liar, I need to think on Jesus Christ, and I need to think on his word. Now, this is not rocket science either, but guess what? If God's word is true, and I am to think on things that are true, what do I need to be doing? Reading your word, reading the word, right? It's not hard to think about. So if God says, hey, think on these things, and we go, yes, I struggle with worry and anxiety, well, then think on those things. Learn about Jesus Christ. Learn about his word. Don't ever be satisfied with where you are. Letter B. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18. There aren't a lot of honest people in the world. Anybody else notice that? Okay, now let's look at this verse. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a strong comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Look at that second phrase, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Guess who's honest? God. God does not lie. Charles kind of alluded to this where, you know, I can't remember where I'm going with this. I don't remember where I was going with it. Anyway, there we go. It's impossible for God to lie, okay? He cannot lie. He is truth, okay? Yes, God can do the impossible, but this is impossible to him. He cannot, he will not ever lie. So think on God. If we were to think on things that are honest, think on God. And I know this is pretty similar to the last point, but I think it makes sense, okay? Think on God. Think about who he is. Think about his character. When I have questions about, okay, well, and some of the teens ask some of these questions, I'm like, well, let's think about God's character. What is God's character? He's loving, he's gracious, he's kind, he's merciful, he's long-suffering. Okay, then we take his character that I know, and it fills in the blanks that I don't know. Does that make sense? So when I worry, what happens? Oftentimes it's about something I don't know. Well, if I'm thinking about God, his attributes, it fills in the gaps of the things I don't know. Does that help? I think it helps. It helps me because I don't have to worry. He is God. He always will be. Don't fill your mind with thoughts that are lies. This is so important. Don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your life. Go to John chapter 8, verse 44. So if God says, it is impossible for me to lie, who's the liar? Look at what Jesus says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is what? No truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your life. When he gets a foothold, guess what happens? It affects other areas. So often we go, well, I want to hold on to this. I don't know. Oh, that's kind of my thing. It makes me comfortable. And it's a sin and we know it's wrong. But if any one of us had cancer tonight and the doctor said, I can take it out with the surgery, we'd all go, take it out. Take it out right now. I don't want it a part of my life. And just like how cancer spreads in your life, if it's left untreated, sin will do exactly the same thing. So allow the word of God to take that scalpel and it remove it. Does it hurt sometimes? Yeah. But when he removes it, guess what he's doing? He is saving you from future problems. Okay? So don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your life. Don't allow your flesh to run rampant over your life. Don't allow it. When you're tempted, when you know you've given into it, ask for forgiveness and move on. So, next, Philippians 4, 7, 8. We're going back in time, apparently. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are just. This is so important. Make sure you are right with God. Make sure you're right with God. God is a just judge. We're going to talk about this in a bit. But God is a just God. But make sure you personally are right with God. We talked about this with the teens. But if you can live your life and you're not under conviction, you can live your life and you can sin and you're not under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there's a problem. The greatest indication that I am saved is the Holy Spirit. So if I can live in sin and not be convicted, there's a problem here. Whether I have become so callous to the things of God and I have said no to the Holy Spirit so much that I don't hear him anymore, or the Holy Spirit was never there in the first place, there's a problem. Number two, if you can live in sin for a long period of time and you don't feel the chastisement of God, there's a problem. God says he chastises everyone that he loves. So if I am not chastised, there's a problem here. Make sense? So if you can continue to live in sin and you're like, yeah, there's no problems, Dan. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. You need to see if you're really saved. I'm just being honest with you tonight. It may not be a popular opinion, but that is the truth. A Christian should be just in all areas of their life. You should be just in all areas of your life. Under this, don't allow yourself to think of revenge. Don't allow yourself to seek revenge. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, my favorite book of the Bible, it says this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So often we like to take things on our own that were never meant for us to carry. Me seeking vengeance on that person who has mistreated me is not biblical, it's not right, and I will never do it as good as him. Never. Also in your life, when you think about this, we should be just in all areas of our life. You and I need to rely on the almighty justice of God. Genesis 18:25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now that is a question, but the obvious answer is yes. God always does right. And you go, well, how can he do right when he does this? Well, you and I have a wrong perspective sometimes. Sometimes we go, well, why isn't God judging them when it's actually God showing long-suffering towards them? And when we were unsaved, we were very thankful that we didn't get judged by God, right? Anybody else there? For me, I heard the gospel thousands of times. Thousands. You know, I never came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior until I was 16 years old. In a church like this. Preaching the gospel all the time. A faithful pastor. Preaching the word faithfully all the time. Revival services, camp meetings, all that stuff. I'm thankful that God was long-suffering. I'm thankful that the Almighty Judge of all the world did right and was long-suffering to me. So before we go, well, why isn't God judging all of this? Be thankful for God's long-suffering. I think this is so important. We look at our world and we go, well, oh yeah, America, homosexuality, whatever the thing is, abortion, God is being long-suffering toward us. We see in Scripture, actually, God says, the cup of their iniquity is not yet full. Talking about the Canaanites. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm giving them a time to repent. And God is allowing our nation that same time for repentance. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I get to go, oh, I guess it's okay. No. No, don't fall asleep. Wake up and start sharing the truth. This time of God's long suffering will end. He is righteous. He is going to do right. He will judge sin. But you and I better be busy until that moment. Okay? We better be busy. So if you said, I haven't hung a single door hanger on, go grab one of those things before somebody else says, you be busy. You say, well, I didn't get to go to Green Springs. You better be busy. Go to Fremont. You say, well, I'm worried. Well, we already answered that. Don't be full of care. Okay? Take it to the Lord and say, God, I need your help. He will provide. He will give you peace. Think on things that are pure, the next part here. So often we think this is just our deeds. Where, well, it's me doing something that is impure. this includes not just your deeds, but this includes your words and your very thoughts. Think on things that are pure. Don't fill your mind with garbage. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, flee fornication. You know what flee means? It means run. It means get out. It means to follow Joseph's example when he was tempted. Guess what he did? He ran. Literally, he ran. And sometimes, guys and ladies, we need to run. And we need to not put ourselves in those places of temptation. We need to not put ourselves in those areas where I'm going to fall. Get out of there. Run. Literally, run, 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 run. Every time, get out. Amen. Run. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Fornication is a word. Often it is related to impurity. Not going into great detail tonight because of our audience, but fornication is impurity. You and I are also called, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, mortify, which means put to death, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. At least two of those apply to impurity. Mortify, put it to death, meaning don't even go there. You're tempted, get rid of it. My phone's back there with Mrs. Utley. I would show you an illustration. It's probably good that it's over there. But if it's your phone, smash it. If it's your phone, teens, smash it. It's not worth playing whatever game. Smash it. Adults, it's not worth us going on Facebook. Smash it. It's not worth your time. Mortify it. Put it to death. Don't let it be a part of your life. I've done that for KK. She was watching YouTube videos, learning nasty words. Guess what I did? I literally took her tablet and smashed it with a hammer. Why? Because it wasn't worth it. An adult is the same thing for us. It's not worth it. Titus chapter 2, verse number 12 says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, you and I are called to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's going to take a denial. I've told our teens this before, but if you have teens that are, if you have friends that are encouraging you to walk in a way that does not please God, cut them out of your life. Adults, if you have friends that are not encouraging you in your walk with God, cut them out of your life. Unfriend them from Facebook. Don't hang out with them. Don't go with them. Period. Sometimes we have to deny things. And we go, well, I don't want to. It hurts. So what? Well, that conversation's going to be awkward. So what? My relationship with God is more important than any friend on this earth. My relationship with God is more important than anything this world can offer me. The next, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Think on things. Well, did I skip one? No, did I? Okay, maybe. Okay, no, I didn't. Okay, think on things that are lovely. Don't allow yourself to be sour, crabby, or irritable. Anybody relate to any of those? Just be honest. Okay, some of us are honest. Sour, crabby, or irritable. I've already talked to you about when I get hungry. I'm all three of those. Sour, crabby, or irritable. Don't allow yourself to go there. Those people are the opposite of lovely. Okay? They're ugly. We don't want to hang out with a sour person. I don't want to hang out with a crabby person. I don't want to hang out with an irritable person, but so often I am. So don't allow yourself to be that. Cultivate in your life friendships and relationships with people who love God. Amen. One of our questions that our teens asked was, well, hey, what qualities should I look for in a date or in somebody I want to date? Guess what one of those things was? Do they have a relationship with God? Are they saved? Are they faithful to church? Are they encouraging in the things of God? Are they walking with God? We had a whole list. And guess what? this is the same thing in our life. If I am to think on things that are lovely, don't hang out with a sour, crabby, irritable person. Because guess what? I won't think on things that are lovely. I'm like, dude, shut up, okay? It's the truth. Cultivate friendships and relationships with people who actually love God. If that person is not faithful to church, if that person is not walking with God, we need to think about some things. It's just the truth. Think on things that are of a good report. These are those things that are well spoken of. Not by the world. The world will say, hey, money is a good thing. It's, you need this. You need that thing, that next tech thing, whatever it is. Not by the world, but by godly people. This is why, again, it's so important that I have friendships with people who love God, because then we can talk about the things that please God. And we can talk about our devotions, and we can talk about how we're going to go serve God or what we're going to do. And this is why it's so important, because then I'm thinking not only on things that are lovely, but are also on those things that are of a good report. These are those things that are commendable by everyone. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, these two statements are really meant to catch everything else. So Paul starts listing all these things. He lists in verse number 8, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Then he says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, the Christian should be a pattern and an example of every worthwhile virtue. We should be the most patient people in the world, but so often we're not. We should be the person that if somebody merges in front of us, we go, okay. So often we're not. We should be the people that you can list and list and list virtues, but so often we're not. Why? Because I think sometimes we think we're walking with God. In reality, we're not. We think that attending a Wednesday night service somehow makes us spiritual. It is a good thing to do. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm not preaching to an empty auditorium. But it's not. You need to be in this book. You need to be talking to people about Christ. You need to be praying. You need to be having an actual, real relationship with God. I was talking to Sam earlier this week. I think it was this week. Maybe it was last week. When Dave's gone, it kind of blurs together. But he was saying he was talking to somebody, and they said, do you really talk to God? And he goes, yeah, all the time. And he goes, does he talk back? And he goes, yeah, not with a voice, but through his word. And he was trying to understand, like trying to explain this to this guy. But guess what? Those things are different. I don't know about you, but I struggle with prayer. I struggle with reading my Bible. I struggle with witnessing. Anybody else there? Okay, just raise your hand. How many of you hear the fair and you're like, ooh, boy, I got to talk to people I don't know. This is scary. How many? Just raise your hand if that's you. It's okay. We're all friends. Maybe we're all friends. Maybe we won't be after the service. I don't know. But we should be these people that are living for God. We should be the people that the world goes, how are you not freaking out right now? We should be those people. And then he finishes it out with, think on these things. Let these things that I've mentioned be the object of careful attention and study. That's what he's saying. Think on these things. Let them be the object that you are carefully studying and you're carefully paying attention to. But lastly, this is so important, because if we just stop here and we just say, well, I'm supposed to think on these things, thinking I don't have to do anything for it. I can just go, yep, good. Look at verse number 9. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the peace and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He doesn't stop here. Now's the time where I practice it. Am I a person who tells the truth? Am I a person who is a lovely person? Am I a person that is pure? Am I a person that is, you fill in the blank with the rest of those things he listed? Are you living that way? If we're not, let me tell you something. You'll worry. You'll fret. You'll be anxious. You'll be full of care. That's not the life that God intended for you tonight. It's not. Have we been through hard times as a church? Yeah. You'd be stupid to say no, all right? Yeah, we have. Have you been through hard times as a person, as a family? Yeah. You know, in those times, it's easy for me to worry, but when my eyes are focused on the one who has it all under control, who's got this, the worry fades away. And I start going, why worry? And let me tell you, church family, this is so important in our life. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious.